The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Coltrane Carlson at Raccoon Valley Radio and Ed Lynn at the Eagle Grove Eagle. Coltrane, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Okay, thank you very much, Senator. Well, the Biden administration is proposing another $22.4 billion in the spending bill that's upcoming for you all to decide on for additional resources for testing for Americans, accelerating the research and development for the next-gen vaccines, and continued global support against the coronavirus. Do you believe the federal government needs to continue to provide, you know, free COVID testing or vaccines at this time for Americans?
Right now, no, but maybe in the future, if you have a big outbreak, maybe so. But the issue isn't whether it should be done or not be done, because that would be dependent upon how big of a problem it is. And I think we're beginning to live with the virus like we do the flu. So let me say there's a bigger issue involved in the money that you're talking about. The extent to which it ought to be borrowed money, or there's COVID relief money and other piles of cash that haven't been spent yet, it needs to be offset. And that's been the issue going back to last March, when they started out with $30 billion and came down to $15 billion and come down to 10. And that could have easily been offset, and we could have funded it already. But this administration seems to think that transferring unused money from one pot to another more higher priority spending is something that they just can't live with. And that's because they want plenty of money to play around with, and you shouldn't be dealing with public health from a political angle. Ed.
Hi, Senator. The question I have for you is that the Iowa Capital Dispatch just recently put out an article in which they pointed out that candidates, and primarily Republican candidates, have been skipping debates and barring press during the midterm campaigns. And you were one of the Republican candidates that they mentioned. And so my question is simple. Do you plan to participate in any debates or open up to more press access at those debates in the future?
Absolutely. October the 6th on Iowa Public Television. Back to Coltrane.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. In regards to the upcoming next year's farm bill, I know you started some chatter with our Congressman Randy Feenstra about that. My question for you is, how critical do you see the next year's farm bill playing a role in protecting farmers? Because we're coming off of back-to-back years of drought-stricken for most of Iowa, and then some of the planting season this year has just been muddled because of how the crops were able to get planted in the ground and not maturing or producing like they should.
Yeah. Well, I've traveled western Iowa, and I think to some degree, two-thirds of Iowa is affected by some level of drought. And even in small areas of northwest, they started harvesting silage in late August, which would be about 2 weeks ahead of time, try to salvage what they could. So when it comes to the farm bill, we're very fortunate that about 95% of the farmers are protected by crop insurance. So that will be maintained. Beyond that, I think we're looking at more money for agricultural research. We have some problems with the unfair competition of the federal government outbidding farmers that pay cash rent, when land and sometimes whole farms are going in to the CRP, I think contrary to the 2018 Farm Bill. So I've got to find out why the administration is able to pay, in some cases, $50 or $70 more per acre than cash rent would pay. And things of that nature, those are the problems that we have to deal with. But I think what I'm hearing from my Farm Bill town meetings, and we've had three of them in the month of August, that crop insurance is the most important thing to affect farmers. Next.
Senator, you worked with then-Senator, now-President Biden in the Senate for a great deal of time, and you guys had, by all accounts, a pretty decent bipartisan across the aisle working relationship.
Yeah.
How do you think you can restore that during the balance of his presidency?
Well, I'm glad you talked about my reputation, because if you go to the Georgetown website and click on Senator Lugar's center, they do a survey on bipartisanship of the senators, and I'm usually in the top 10, one time in the top 5 on those annual surveys, so I think I have a good reputation for doing it. And as a senator, you have to do it. But you referred to the president being a senator and having been involved in it. And if he were a president with the same bipartisan stripe that he had as a U.S. senator, we wouldn't have a lot of this partisanship that's going on. And when it comes out of the White House, it's going to be dominant in the Congress of the United States. By the way, I only answered about half your question in regard to debate, because you said something about whether we would avoid or not have very many interlopes with the press. So I think
as a trend within your party, not necessarily just you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then you know what I'm doing with you right now, and I have 5 different weekly press calls when we're in session, and I always make it a priority to be available to press 15 minutes after a Q&A at each one of my town meetings and things like that. So then I'm not sure that I'm in a position to talk about what the 49 other Republican senators are doing. It's not something that I've heard a lot of complaints about. Not saying your question's not legitimate, I just haven't heard it so much. And so,
well,
go ahead.
Senator, specifically with respect to debates and participating in the debates, and it's not the first time in your history as a candidate that you've declined to participate in debates with other candidates.
No, that's wrong, because there's never been a campaign that I haven't debated my opponent. Not one. Okay, let's go to Coltrane.
Yes, Senator, obviously the investigation with the classified documents of former President Donald Trump's home still ongoing with the Department of Justice. Do you believe the Department of Justice was justified in their search warrant to get those classified documents from President Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago?
I will have to wait until there's more transparency on what they took, and I think the appointment of the special master by the district judge in Florida is going to help us answer that question. But I do think it is legitimate to raise the issue about, is there political bias within the FBI, because I pointed it out a month ago. A person's been fired as a result of my pointing out some political bias on starting a investigation on Trump and stopping an investigation on Hunter Biden. And then you can go back to the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton destroying emails and the Carter Page thing and the Steele dossier and the Russian disinformation and all that. I don't need to go into that, because you know about it as well as I do. But so I'm only raising a question. I'm not making an accusation in regard to what happened August the 5th or August the 8th, whenever it was. But I think that the Justice Department has a great deal of explaining to do, and the FBI does, based upon past political bias that's been proven. And then also the different treatment between Hillary being negotiated and could have been prosecuted but wasn't prosecuted. We'll have to see how it ends up with Trump. But these are all legitimate questions, it seems to me. Ed?
Senator Grassley, I just wanted to ask you if you feel that, and sort of a follow-up to the response that you just gave, if you feel that there is any circumstance under which President Trump could, former President Trump could be prosecuted justifiably in the wake of Senator Clinton having not been prosecuted at that time.
That's speculation that we'll have to wait until there's more transparency for me to be able to answer. Okay, thank you both very much for participating. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coltrane and Ed, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.